gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in hour number three today.
Yes.
Also, we will check in with Representative Robert Anders of the great state of New Jersey on the latest on the fiscal Cliff Clavin. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
You know, 30% of old people who fall off cliffs, they're... Never mind.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And as we mentioned, unemployment numbers.
Fun! Wow!
It's the lowest in 4 years.
Wow!
It's dropped to 7.7%. We added 146,000 jobs.
You're welcome, America. I did that.
No, you didn't.
No.
Okay. That which was about, twice what was expected.
That's right.
So, and this just in the president's approval rating. It just gets better and better.
It's the highest. His approval rating is the highest since Osama bin Laden was killed.
Right. So here's what I noticed is the right-wing pundits pretty much wrong all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the math, on the unemployment numbers, on the polling, on the election. And they're still wrong. This is how we live in two realities. I'm driving in. Here, Bill Press reporting the facts, like what I just said.
Yep.
Double what was expected. Great unemployment numbers, 7.7. I turn to the right-wing station. They're like, how many jobs do we have? Not many. It's not much.
146,000.
How were you reporting it when George Bush was losing 800,000 a month?
Yeah. We're not losing much.
No, in their...
It's spectacular.
It's all the same.
Right.
They're all
in their universe,
same.
That's not that good.
Not good enough.
Ever.
No, not
ever.
Really good enough.
Because the black guy's still in the White House.
Would it be wrong for me to hope that SEAL Team 6 keeps an eye on Ted Nugent?
All right. Stop it.
Stop it.
This is hard. All right. Anyway.
Stop it.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the other thing I realized that they're wrong about. Didn't all the right-wing pundits say, we were playing this in right-wing world, Chris, help me out, who am I thinking of before the election? Rush, you wait and see, these numbers will be revised down. They gin these numbers up, these unemployment numbers, before the election, my friends, and you'll see they'll suddenly be revised down after the election. Wrong.
The way that my bathroom scale revises my numbers upward every time I stand on it.
That's a conspiracy. Exactly. All right. By the way, I understand the other thing that's working, Jim, Obamacare. A lot of the jobs are in the healthcare industry.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's coincidence.
Chris, I think almost primarily just from my show, as I just mentioned at the top of the hour, Jackie Schechner clearly is leaking brain fluid.
or snot.
See, she's like you. She's highly suggestible, Jim. You saw that medical infomercial. You came in and said...
I have an ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah, remember that morning? Jim had an ectopic pregnancy.
Turns out it was gas.
So we did a story on leaking brain fluid, and Jackie Schechner now literally called me yesterday. I didn't know who it was. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who?
I'm sorry.
Okay. I thought it was my friend Lily Tomlin doing Edith Ann.
One thingy dingy.
No, that's the other one. That's Ernestine.
That's Ernestine.
All right.
It's sad. That's right.
Why are you looking so distressed this morning? Have I made you sick as well?
No. I'm just trying to put out a fire over here.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Fire. We're fine now.
Oh, and what did we learn about T-Bone yesterday?
He has the esophagus of a cat.
And the cat runs the back.
And the longest esophagus in the world.
I'll just let that joke.
Mind.
I'll just
leave
that joke there. No wonder he's so popular.
Should we get him in here to explain?
T-Bone! Sure.
Get in here!
No, because you were saying it's some kind of acid reflux, and I'm just thinking,
Well, he had surgery yesterday.
Working with me? Probably. Probably the common denominator.
Get in here.
Giving everybody acid reflux. Apparently cats have esophaguses that long?
No. He can explain.
Well, you told him if he coughs up a hairball on you, you're putting him on the back porch.
Yes, that's true.
Sweetness.
Hello, T-Bone.
Angel, what? Tell Mama.
I thought it was acid reflux. I was having a little throat.
From working with me.
Issue. It's been going on for a year, so I think it started over at Fox. It was Uncle Rupert's fault.
Okay.
But your health care is better than his, so.
Thank you.
It turns out it's not that uncommon, but it's like an allergy thing that happens in your esophagus, and things just kind of get backed up down there, and it looks like acid reflux, but it's not acid reflux.
Oh, I have acid reflux. I make myself sick. I mean, I have to spend a lot of time with me.
Well, it's that food that you bring in here. I can smell it over here.
It's
yeah.
fine.
This is a soundproof room, and I can smell it at my desk.
It gives him acid reflux just smelling
just
it down
smelling
the hall.
My leftovers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How do you think we feel?
Well, that's very exciting. Now I know what to get you for Christmas. Cat toy.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
Something.
A little mouse. A
little scratch pad.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Catnip.
Right. All right.
That's legal in Washington and Colorado now.
Yeah.
All right. I love you, T-Bone. Feel better.
Thank you.
I'm making everybody sick. I'm making Jackie Shecker leak brain fluid.
Yeah.
And T-Bone...
I warned that if Kim Jong-un suffer from acid reflux.
Oh, no.
Some sort of, like, he's like a...
Gangnam
Linda,
style.
It's like a Linda Lovelace cat. I don't know what...
That's Gangnam
That'll
style.
That'll give you acid reflux.
Yes. Doing Gangnam style? Absolutely. By the way, did you see Alan Simpson
what?
Doing that?
What?
Oh, okay. Gangnam
style.
Oh, wow.
The Gangnam style dance.
That's really distressing. It's an image I don't even want. Now I'm going to scrub that from my mind's eye. That is.
It's actually very funny. Alan
yeah.
Simpson.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, if you say so.
Yeah.
All right, kids.
What?
Guess what? Jackie Schechter's coming to D.C. with us.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Yay!
For a sexy liberal inauguration weekend.
And she will
that
fit in the overhead compartment.
She will. With her, complete with her. I don't know if that's too much fluid to bring, all the brain fluid she's leaking. She may need to start leaking less fluid. All right, anyway, but you guys three will be opening the show.
Yep.
All four sexy liberals, Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I, and huge celebrity guest on panel.
Huge.
Yes.
It is D.C., after all.
Yes.
There are lots of celebrities there.
Uh-huh. Let's see. John is coming, sexy liberal D.C. Dear Steph, I am a tall, bald African-American man like Van Jones. Squee! My excitement could not be contained when I discovered there'd be a sexy liberal show in D.C. as I live in Richmond, Virginia. I quickly accessed Ticketmaster. Damn the fees, purchased two balcony tickets for January 19th. Woohoo!
Yay.
As an African-American male who could be at a Van Jones family reunion as his almost twin, Iraq War veteran and all-around WTF is going on with these hotel prices for inauguration weekend. Can I stay with you? And yes, I will most likely have a very lovely young lady with me. Hello, three-way! Okay, signed another bald African-American man who wishes he could have you. All right.
Aww.
All right, John, we'll see what we can do. All right. So what else do we have a lot to get to today? It's all happy clappy news today. And Jim DeMint. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Double your pleasure, double your fun.
Jim DeMint.
Get it?
Yeah.
Because, okay. So we will...
No, with Retson.
Right. Sorry, I couldn't get to that fast enough. All right. And we may hear, are we going to hear maybe today about Prop 8 Supreme Court?
Maybe,
yes. It's another maybe.
Yeah, the Supreme Court really doesn't give a schedule, so when it happens, it happens.
Did you see, Prop 8, of course, passed because of all that Mormon money that magically flowed into California.
Yeah, this thing. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this?
I don't trust it as far as I can throw it.
Yeah, well, Jim, they're trying to, like the Republicans, soften their image. They're trying to soften their rhetoric toward, in this case, the gays. Oh, yes. Let's see, Julie sent this. Mom and the Mooks, oh, goody. The Mormons, admit gay people may have been born that way. The bosses of the Prop 8 pushing Mormon church now admit it's not your fault if you're gay.
Yeah, but don't act on it, they say.
I'm getting to that
part. Fine.
Like the Republican Party, they're softening the tone of their implacable opposition to gay people drawing breath on the same earth. Yes, according to a new church website, Mormonism no longer considers it a choice to be a sinful, unworthy, unnatural, godless, hellbound woman who can never marry like other law-abiding citizens or not-so-law-abiding inmates on one of those MSNBC prison shows who seem to get married all the time without anyone fussing about it too much.
Yeah.
And now, gay people, you're free to get over your unfortunate luck in being gay. However,
just don't do anything gay.
Yes,
just don't
by emulating gay Mormons featured on the site who are, quote, living a chaste lifestyle, both celibate and married to opposite-sex spouses. So you're free to live a lie if you like gay people.
You're free to suppress whatever natural feelings you have.
Free to be Marcus Bachman.
What? I don't know what you mean by that. That is super. That's just super news for
that's
all of us.
Super.
Yes.
Thanks for asking.
I'm super. All right. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing but me.
Just turning it
Everything
off.
Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Okay.
There's that from Book of Mormon. There's that song. Turn it off. It's like a light switch.
Yes, Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Kind of hilarious. Yes, please take your organ out for me.
Okay.
With a clear invitation to gay Mormons to, quote, stay with us.
Mm.
Thus, we want to help you get into a straight marriage. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints launched a new website. Ooh, this has been 2 years in the making. Have you seen it? It's fancy. Aimed at providing greater sensitivity and better understanding among Latter-day Saints with regards to same-sex attraction. Reading down, in a brief video on the website, one of the elders makes it clear that the doctrine of the church, that sexual activity should only occur between a man and a woman who were married, has not changed and is not changing. So there you go. It's a softer, more inclusive rhetoric. It allows you to either never have sex for the rest of your life if you're gay, or be married to someone of the opposite sex. Oh, boy. That is precious. Oh, and it's a time for another edition of Being Gay is Just Like... In this case...
Just like being a drug addict, that sort
right,
of thing?
Right. Liberty yeah. Council. Gays okay. are damaging to society, just like smoking or drug addiction.
Great.
So you can get secondhand gay?
See, they're also softening their language. We believe those involved in homosexuality, you know, involved
those
in
involved
it. Kind of like the mafia. Those involved in it.
Involved in
that sort of thing. We believe those involved in homosexuality are created in the image of God. Oh, thank you. And because of that, deserve respect. However, that's
however.
Always a next sentence. However.
However.
Their actions are damaging both to themselves and to society as a whole.
Yes.
Just and like smoking or drug addiction, this behavior
like
should not be encouraged or promoted by our government.
Sure. Do they give reasons why it's damaging to society or...
Because
it's like adultery. Like adultery, smoking, or drug addiction.
You can get secondhand gay. You walk into a bar full of gay people,
right?
You breathe in the gay.
Steph was trying her damnedest to get secondhand gay on Road Flair Mary yesterday.
I know. I was hoping I could get her afeared, but she wasn't falling for
no,
it.
No, she wasn't.
You're not turning me gay. I got a trucker husband.
Where is he?
All right.
Oh,
no. Oh, no. Stop it. Stop it.
She
stop it.
Want to talk about.
Yeah. She actually called back and asked us
I know. Not to talk about her husband that drives an empty truck back across the country. So that
we don't know that.
Gone as long as possible. Okay. All right.
And it turned into a big triangle between Chicago, Seattle.
Yeah.
And the big
head west on the Eisenhower.
And Miami.
And Borger, buddy, I got my ears on. I need to drive one more leg. I can't get home this soon.
And then it turned into a big square. Chicago, Seattle, Miami, Portland, Maine.
I'm sick. I'm a big empty truck. All right. No, kids. Come on. We're starting to lose it. Vacation's only 2 weeks away. Okay. 20 minutes after the hour. You are of no use to me. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Junior in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. Big fan.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm the official sexy liberal MILF hunter of your show.
And what kind of hunter?
Sexy liberal MILF hunter.
MILF hunter.
Oh, MILF hunter. Hello. All right. You caught me. Go ahead.
You're not a mom, so you don't really call her.
My statement is I love this aggressive liberalism that Obama is doing. He's not compromising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think he needs to put his... I
like that.
Has to do with...
Aggressive liberalism, I like that. It sounds hot.
Absolutely. I think he has to thank people like you, MSNBC, first of all, for making Fox News irrelevant, popping that bubble. The Mint leaving, McConnell, the stunt that he's pulling on the floor. Right now, 7.7 unemployment is the lowest in 4 years. Liberalism works. So I think he doesn't need to compromise. He needs to stick to it. He's going to the people right now. I think that's a good plan. And I love your guys' show.
You know, yes, Junior, it's interesting you bring up the two different medias, too, because how many times do we have people call us and say, oh, thank God you kept me sane?
Yeah.
Because we turned out to be right about everything during
exactly.
the election. And,
absolutely.
And the opposite is happening on the other side. They're yep. like, Rush, you idiot, you've been lying to me for how many
And yet
years?
They continue to lie right. to their audience.
Right.
You know, it's about the jobs numbers today. They just yeah. continue on with the narrative.
I just wonder what's in the mind of a lot of people, though, that watch Fox News or listen to right-wing radio going, huh, so you mean everything that you
told me is a lie?
Everything turned out to be wrong.
Well, no, that's when they...
I'll tune back in to see what you think now.
That's when they start blaming, you know, the pollsters and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, for leading them on.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Sure. They keep being betrayed by numbers.
Yeah.
And now this latest affront, the new unemployment numbers.
Yep.
Math is a liberal bias, clearly.
Yes.
Yet conservative
I got it. Now
shows.
I get some pleasure out of it because I will have to tune into Rush today to see why he was so incredibly wrong on that. That he said for sure before the election, these next numbers, you wait and see. They're going to be revised all way, way up. They just, you know, fiddled with these numbers, my friends, before the election. And now, I'm guessing that they'll say that they're still fixing the numbers, you know, just to make it look good. And then maybe next month, he'll be right. Okay. Bob in Lakewood, California. Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Morning, Steph. Morning, Moo.
Morning.
I find it kind of ironic that Obama's re-election turned out to be Jim the Miss Waterloo.
Ah, yay! You can't see what you did there. Woo!
Waterloo. Waterloo.
By the way, I was going to say, you know, that was one of those statements that obviously was rooting for the president's failure.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it was one of those, like, borderline racism? Or no? Remember when he said, I was looking at the actual quote, I hadn't seen it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if we're able to stop Obama on this, it'll be his Waterloo. It will break him. Isn't that what they used to say about slaves? Isn't, I mean, it just...
Yeah.
Language that they use, mm-hmm. to me, is always like a little...
It was inartful, but I don't think it was... on purpose.
Right. Well, it's mean.
Yeah.
to say
well,
the
yeah,
president
yeah.
of the United States,
it's,
we want to break him.
It's hardball, yes.
Borderline treasonous sounding,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I don't think it was racist.
Well, I don't know.
On purpose.
It could be a dog whistle.
Right, it was another version
no,
of...
Yeah.
Horse whistle on this game. And break a
another,
horse. Break a,
right, you know, well, that's what I mean, an right. animal. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Exactly, yeah, right. Jim. It's just... What was, you know, Grover Norquist saying, oh, we need to put a leash on the president. Yeah. Not okay. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to walk around. I think my vagina is asleep.
Was that Aisha? Sounds like something she would say.
I need to be awake anyway. Nothing going on. It is the... Aww. Wah. 34 minutes after the hour. I will call myself a whambulance. No need
okay.
to help me.
All right.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Nick in L.A. Hi, Nick. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Good. Go ahead.
First time caller. And yes. I'm a vet from Iraq war, the Desert Shield Storm War and the Panama War.
Thank you for your service.
And I'm about a redneck. Well, it's no problem. I'm glad to do it. But, you know, I was a redneck and still am. And I met my wife several years ago, and her son is gay. And I really, you know, wasn't too understanding of what the issues were for the homosexual community and stuff like that. I mean, getting to know the kid and understand him and talk to him and really listen, you know, it's just no different than anybody else. And I'm just letting people know that if I can change my mind and being as narrow-minded redneck as I am, and let them understand, you know, that, you know, he's, you know, just because you're gay or lesbian or whatever, you're no less American or no less human than anybody else.
Aw, yep. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, usually all it takes is for someone to get to know a gay
somebody.
Person
yeah,
and know that
yeah.
they're just
yeah.
the same as you
well,
or me.
You know, Nick, that's why the polls are changing so quickly. It's because of people like you, because, you know, he's a human being that's, you know, your stepson, and you love him, and that's yeah. the end of the story.
Yeah.
Exactly. And can you believe Mitch McConnell actually filibustered his own bill?
Yeah. How hilarious. Comedy writes itself. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Whoever wrote this bill is some kind of stupid reptile.
Just when you think this party could not get any more ridiculous. He totally, you know what, Harry Reid, the old boxer, he...
Yeah, Harry Reid boxed him into
totally, just, you know.
That's hysterical.
I don't know what's the boxing thing I'm thinking of? Yes, exactly.
Computer says yes.
Where is my story on this, for God's sakes? Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, okay.
All right, I loved all the details of it, because he thought he was being so smart, Yertle. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm moving slowly. They're not going to see this coming, though.
Look out. Here it comes.
Are you still looking? Do you need me to print it?
No, I got it.
Okay.
I got it. Everybody talk. Oh, there it is. Okay, thank you, everybody.
What am I going to do now?
Sorry, my friends. It was down farther in the stack, and I anticipated it. Yes, he filibustered his own bill to lift the debt ceiling. He wanted to prove that Democrats didn't have the votes to weaken Congress's authority on the debt limit. Instead, they called his bluff, and he ended up filibustering his own bill.
You are an idiot!
The legislation would permit the president to unilaterally lift the debt ceiling unless Congress mustered a two-thirds majority to stop him. Why? Because never before in our history, as the president has pointed out, has somebody taken the debt ceiling hostage as something to negotiate over. The full faith and credit of the United States. McConnell brought up the legislation Thursday morning. Harry Reid initially objected, seemingly proving the Republican leader's point it can't pass in the Senate. But then Reid ran it by his members and in the afternoon agreed to hold the same vote. This time it was McConnell who objected. Reid said the Republican leader objects to his own idea. So I guess we have a filibuster of his own bill.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Dick Durbin said, this may be a moment in Senate history when a senator made a proposal that, when given an opportunity for a vote on that proposal, filibustered his own proposal. I don't think this has ever happened before. It is. It is unprecedented, like everything else, about this particular constitution of the Republican Party. All right.
They're kind of turning into a bunch of dummies.
A little bit.
Which way did it go?
Tell me about the rabbits, George.
Yeah, you done real good. You did real good, Mitch. You done good. It's real good what you did. Okay.
No, that was Anthony, the guy.
Right.
Yeah, that
whatever.
Was completely different. Literary
wasn't
illusion.
Dumb.
The point is, it's real good what he did. Okay. Let's. I was looking at the. I was saying I have to spin it ahead now. What a Russian company are going to say about why it's bad?
Right.
That unemployment has dropped to 7.7%, and we added. What is it? 140. Where am I? Yeah, 146,000 new jobs.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, they're gonna say I'm gonna go on my psychic. They're going to say it's because more people gave up looking for work, so it's not real. Even though economists had predicted payrolls, predicted an increase of 93,000, and the employment rate holding steady at 7.9. So I don't know how you spin this as not going in the right direction.
Yeah.
They're saying employment continues to be held back by the fear the government may fail to prevent, the fiscal cliff, right. Basically. Once Washington policymakers reserve the near-term fiscal and other policy challenges that have undermined business confidence, we expect the pace of recovery and job growth to begin to accelerate next year, said one of the key economists. But that's the other reason why the Republicans, they don't want that.
Right.
That's the problem. Election season never ends for them. They're probably thinking, we can't have the economy turn around because that sets Hillary or Joe Biden or whoever up perfectly. I mean,
right.
In my opinion. Anyway. All right. Mickey in South Dakota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mickey.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Say, I just want to say a couple things here that are very serious.
Okay.
And anyway... The first thing is, I'm a gay man in South Dakota,
yeah.
And I worked for a company. Applied from an ad in the paper here in my town where I live, and as there's a 90-day period that you have to work before you get the job.
Okay.
Anyway, so they worked me up to the 90th day, and then I was fired. And I asked why I was fired, and they said, and they all looked at one another like, why are we firing him? And I said, is it because I'm gay? And they're like, oh, no, it's not because you're gay. And I, my neighbor across the street is a brother-in-law to one of the big bosses there, and they told me, or he told me, yes, you were fired because you're gay. And I said, well, what can I do? He says, well, in South Dakota, it's a right-to-work state. They can fire you for anything, and they don't have to give an answer. So when I applied for unemployment, I was denied unemployment because being gay was not a good enough reason. And second, I went to a doctor here at the local clinic. And this doctor comes once a week, and he came into my room, and when he came into my room, and he examined me, and then he read my report and saw that I was HIV positive, he screamed bloody murder, and it was like he was going to kill me, and he told me that he would not be a doctor for me. He refused me service and anything. So anyone who thinks that the right-to-work state is good, it's not, because doctors can refuse you service, and you will not get unemployment just because you're gay. And also, if you go to a restaurant in South Dakota, you can be denied service just because you're gay. And it goes back to the 1800s. There's a law in South Dakota that says that if you're gay and they have, and even if they just think you're gay, they have the right to refuse you service. Wow.
Yeah, there's still states in the country that...
That is, Mickey, I'm really sorry to hear all that is, you know, that's what I wonder sometimes. We feel, you know, John Edwards used to use, not in that sense, but the two Americas. And you just, I mean, it literally feels like I'm sitting here in L.A. It feels like we're talking about two different countries, but I...
Well, we are. We are. Yeah. And it's a totally Republican-run state, too. And so there's no way a Democrat can get in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to say that at least the good news is, Mickey, the president was reelected, and he's done more for gay rights, you know, than any of the previous presidents combined. And, you know, hopefully we're going forward in that direction and not backward, because that's just, God.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's also up to the individual
states.
See,
that's why this stuff, whether it's marriage equality, I really hope it gets decided at the Supreme Court level and obviously decided. Because I feel like you can't have different laws all over the country. It makes it, legally, it makes it a mess.
It does.
The people can get married in one state and go to another state and it's not recognized. Right. And
they have work benefits in one state. They move to another state. Those benefits are denied. It's big patchwork and it's a huge mess.
Yep. Here's the other good news, as I mentioned. Jim DeMint is leaving. So there's that.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Another Tea Party bite. Remember, bites the dust.
Double your pleasure, double your fun.
That, to me, one of the big signs the Tea Party is, over.
Kaput?
Yeah. Jim DeMint, because he can do more on the outside, particularly because he's getting paid $1 million a year.
Yeah.
I honestly believe I can do a lot more on the outside than I can on the inside.
Right.
It pays better on the outside.
Did you see that according to financial reports that he's the poorest member of the Senate?
Yeah. Yes.
Jeez.
So this is all about principle and about getting something done. Sure.
No, it's all
about
the cash. More money.
Yeah.
Simoleons.
Sure.
Clams.
All right. Would you like the, it's hard to pick, the seven.
I'm just in it for the bread, man.
Mother Jones has done seven craziest.
I don't think Jim DeMint would use the phrase bread.
Daddy-o.
No.
I need the bread. He might, actually. Mother Jones has seven craziest moments. Hard to pick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here are the Jim DeMint not-so-fun facts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim DeMint says gay people and unmarried women having sex should not teach your children. They should not be teachers.
Well, they're having sex in class. That
right,
could be a
not,
problem.
No, but... with your... No, he means just unmarried and...
Just in general.
Right. Hmm. DeMint says God does not like big government. God, of course, talked a lot about that.
Sure.
He said the bigger the government gets, the smaller God gets.
What?
And Leon is only getting larger. That's the important thing.
Leon is getting larger! I can make a hat. I can make a brooch.
A pterodactyl.
Jim DeMint doesn't want...
You like movies about gladiators?
Jim DeMint does not want women talking about abortion on the internet. He literally tried to shut down the internet.
Yeah.
He literally?
Nice try.
Listen, I'd like to do that a couple of weeks ago. But you can't. Trust me, you can't stop the interwebs. How would you
that'll
stop
be enough
from...
about that.
Pig. That'll do, pig.
I didn't say that.
Pig.
How would you stop anybody from talking about anything on the internet? Really? Specifically, you're going to stop women from talking about abortion on the internet. You are
an idiot.
Okay. DeMint says America is turning into Iran after President Obama's election. Or maybe Germany.
No. What Jim DeMint wanted to do the internet is what Iran does to the internet.
There you go.
So,
interesting point.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh, a rare moment of adding something to the show, Chris LaVoy, everybody.
My brain hurts now. Can I go?
So you said Germany? You mentioned Germany?
Oh, well, no, let me explain. He said probably the most heart-wrenching experiences I've had over the last several days is when naturalized American citizens who've immigrated here from Germany, Iran, or other countries, and they come up to me and they say, why are we doing what so many have fled from?
Huh?
Germany?
Obama, just like Hitler, see, and...
Germany has universal health care.
Yeah, and Angela Merkel is from the Conservative Party. So what the hell is he talking about?
It's Jim DeMint. What?
It doesn't have to make sense. He's Jim DeMint.
Ah.
He put a hold on the National Women's History Museum.
Hmm.
We know all we need to know about chicks.
Yeah.
DeMint confused the Chicago teacher strike with violence in the Middle East.
Huh?
How do you do that?
He said I was reading another on the way over. I was reading another story about a distant place where thugs had put 400,000 children out on the streets, and then I realized it was a story about the Chicago teacher strike. So it's
what? What the hell is he? Huh?
And then finally, DeMint falsely accuses President Obama of taxing Christmas. Okay.
Taxing Christmas?
You know what? It's not even worth my energy to explain. He's Jim DeMint. That's
why. How do
you
tax a holiday?
How do you tax Christmas?
You don't, and that's why. You don't. You don't. Okay.
Like that added anything to the show.
You want an angel? You want an angel on the top of your tree? It's going to cost you.
I have very little of the show as well, despite
$1 million
name being
having a fancy sign behind me with my name. Thank you. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller Radio Show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Rock on.
Okay.
Yeah, Jim's not even in the room.
Did I call you Jim?
You did.
You're here every day.
I'm here every day in this seat.
Okay.
Jim's not even here
right
now.
51, of course not. 51 minutes after the hour. He's, you know what, he's not constrained by ordinary things like time.
No. Obligations.
No.
No.
No. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Let's go to Cordell in North Carolina. Hi, Cordell.
Hey, Stephanie. Uh-huh. Hey, Chris.
Wait a minute, you're in North Carolina and not Kentucky?
Yeah, I actually moved at the end of October, and I actually had a chance to vote early, and I voted for the president.
Oh, good. Well, I know. I was like, my GPS must be malfunctioning.
Well, I have a birthday request and a comment about my former deuce of a senator, McConnell.
Yes.
And since Jim's not there, hey, Chris.
Oh, he's back.
Jim just got here.
Yeah, he's back.
Okay, can I channel my inner Laura Ingraham with you and Jim?
Sure.
That was fun. I needed that.
Oh,
regarding my former deuce of a senator, Mitch McConnell, I understand Ashley Judd is considering making a run against him.
That'd be awesome.
It would, but realistically, Steph, I know the state of Kentucky.
Yeah.
McConnell's district is as it could be.
But let me ask you something. You know what I like better? The idea of her running against Rand Paul, which I think she's talked about.
That's what I was going to bring up.
We share a brain. You complete me. Go ahead.
I know you do, too. The reason that I say she has a better chance against Rand Paul, that district has more Democrats. That's for Louisville. That's for Lexington.
Right. And Cordell, I think it's tough to take out the minority leader, whereas correct me if I'm wrong, Rand Paul, kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Joe Walsh. He's that Tea Party jerk type, you know? He's just unnecessarily nasty, I think.
We just couldn't turn out enough Democrats in 2010 to get him in there, and plus I don't think we had a strong enough candidate, but, you know, I'm really hoping if she's listening, wait the 2016, run against Rand Paul, and I guarantee you're going to win.
Yep. All right. Good idea. That's exactly what I was going to say.
SpongeBob.
Listen up, all you Judds. I know you're listening.
Has a message, I think, for Rand Paul.
Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. Oh, guess what? They asked him about Ashley Judd running, and guess what?
What?
He was a jerk.
Oh, imagine that.
A jerk. Yeah, he laughed. He laughed at the idea of Ashley Judd challenging him.
A chick running for my office.
I heard she lived in Scotland, he said. I thought she was running for Parliament. I think she fit right in the English Parliament. She said she's way too damn liberal for our country, for our state, he said. By the way, Ashley Judd has done some a lot of serious work on stuff.
Absolutely. Because, you know. And Yarmouth, Congressman Yarmouth is a great liberal progressive from the state of Kentucky. Yes. So it's not unheard of, Rand Paul.
Mr. Mann. Yeah, she's reportedly considering challenging him or Mitch McConnell. I say take out the triple-haired Rand Paul.
Yeah, because running for Senate, you have to get the votes of the entire state of Kentucky. That might be a little tougher than running for, you know, a particular district.
All right, let's just, you know what, you're harshing my Jim DeMint's gone. What? I mean, Jim DeMint, bye-bye.
I've played a role in stocking the Senate with solid conservatives who are younger and brighter and better spokesmen than I am. And so I know I'm leaving the Senate better than I found it.
Yeah. You're leaving for $1 million is what you're leaving for.
Because you're the poorest member of the Senate.
All right. Some other not-so-fun facts about Jim DeMint. Just, you know, as we say, bye.
Okay.
He stood with Todd Akin after those legitimate rape comments. He was very, very strongly in support of that. Led the opposition, as we know, against Obamacare. Turns out that was his Waterloo.
That's
ha-ha.
Right.
Ha-ha. Let's see. Some of these I already covered earlier. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he wants to strip all federal employees of collective bargaining rights. There was that. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I remember this one. He threatened to single-handedly shut down the Senate. Remember that?
Right.
That he would place a unilateral hold on every single piece of legislation in the Senate. used a failed terrorist plot to attack unions. How about that? Remember the underwear's bomber?
Oh, yeah.
He said the administration is intent on unionizing or submitting our airport security to union bosses' collective bargaining. That's why that happened. Okay. Argued that people with pre-existing conditions got better care before Obamacare.
What?
Right. He was willing to
They
cause...
got no care.
Yeah.
The insurance companies cut them out.
Right. That's what he meant. Sure.
Yeah.
Willing to cause, quote-unquote, serious disruptions in the economy in order to secure draconian cuts. He was asked on Fox News, despite not raising the debt ceiling would cause serious disruptions. He said, I'm willing to do that in order to get major cuts to Medicare and Social Security. So, that guy.
Wow.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Senator Lindsey Graham, as usual, from the fainting couch.
I met with Jim DeMint this morning, and I to say I was stunned as an understatement. He has always been a friend, somebody I could count on. Personally, we've really enjoyed our time together. I was stunned this morning.
Stunned. Once again, another clutch the pearls moment for me.
My
vapors.
We
the
had some
couch
wonderful
with a
times
mint
together.
Oh.
Something tells me that Lindsey Graham has clutched some pearls before.
Oh, it was Heptera. He's just stunned by everything. He's stunned by air.
As God is my witness, I will never go hungry again.
But compared to Jim DeMint, he's a stark, raving, mad liberal.
Yeah.
All right, and Senator Harry Reid.
I've always liked the guy.
Oh, sure.
And,
he's precious.
Even though I disagree with so much of what he's done, I appreciate that I personally believe he does this out of a sense of real belief. It's not political posturing for him as it is for a lot of people.
You know who else
so I like Jim DeMint. I wish him well.
He's done
political
this
posturing.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
he's done this out of a...
Oh, right.
Stop it. He's done it out of a belief that he deserves to make more money.
Yes. Yeah.
He's done that. I have a sincere belief that I am severely underpaid. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Aw, the President and Boner having a little private time. A little mano a mano. Whatever.
Mano.
Mano a mano. Something. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. Getting this thing all hashed out. I hope the president's being serious. I hope the voter's not flabbergasted.
I'd be flabbergasted if he's not serious.
I remain flabbergasted. Perpetually. Okay. 1-800...
We're in a sober discussion about issues.
How can you have a sober discussion with Boner about anything?
Flabbergasted.
This is not serious. Okay. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Roland Heistrom, Sexy Liberal tour director. If it's possible, the Washington, D.C. box office numbers are making him even more high-strung because we're on our way to sell out, and it's not till January 19th, but it is... It's incredible. It is, I mean.
It's a new year and time for a new inauguration.
And the President of the United States is once again Barack Obama.
America. And time for a new sexy liberal.
Not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom.
No, a new sexy liberal show.
January 19th. Inauguration weekend in our nation's capital at the Warner Theater, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour makes its 2013 debut.
Arrange for your world leaders to confer with us in the city of Washington.
Featuring Hal Sparks.
I have a lot of liberal friends who love this country enough to vote almost every other election. And
John Fugelsang.
Cable news, it should be called the stuff they air between Viagra and Cialis ads.
Aisha Tyler.
And now more bourbon, bitch, I'm thirsty.
And the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller.
Straight sex just seems way too confusing based on the Cialis ads.
The long-awaited Washington, D.C. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show at the Warner Theater, January 19th.
Yeah! Yeah.
Not a celebration of party, but a celebration of jelly donuts.
Exactly.
By the way,
show being opened by Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Jackie Schechter, who will all be joining us for the inauguration weekend. Yes.
By the way, Justin on Twitter would like to remind you that mano a mano means hand to hand, not man to man.
You didn't know that? Just,
yeah, sure I did. I don't, who knows what I meant?
Donde están los caballos? Están. Subject verb agreement.
Donde los yikes?
Yeah, because that totally means
that's
something
yours
in Spanish.
From years, and we still don't know what it means, and I say it all the time.
You know what? It's something we said in high school. A friend of mine made it up, and it's just stuck with me for 20 years.
Where are the yikes? See, and it makes no sense.
There's not even a verb in that.
No, it's just where the yikes.
Where?
Donde están los yikes would be a sentence.
Now I want to know where the yikes are.
And by the way, la pared es gris. Right. It's la pared. It's feminine. Not,
I've said
not
for years, el pared. Yes. Thanks a lot.
No.
Thanks a
lot. Masculine, feminine.
What was his name, my high school Spanish teacher?
Senor.
Thanks a lot, Senor. I forget your name now.
Senor Jenkins.
Senor Lavoie.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Here we go. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Oh, Liz Cheney, she's delightful.
She's
Hannity.
Not.
What the president is doing is putting the United States in a position where our enemies are getting stronger. Iranians have got a nuclear weapon on the way. They're working to try to build one. You certainly don't hear very much about that anymore. And
maybe
in the meantime, the president has stood aside. Now, he, in the last 24 hours, was pretty strong in terms of threatening the Syrians if they do use chemical weapons. Let's hope that he, in fact,
lives
up to that. Yeah,
we'll
it would be a first.
Be a first.
It would be a first.
Be a first. He's never done anything.
Is she cheerleading for us to have to use chemical weapons on someone?
Sounds like it.
She seems really... She almost had a wargasm there.
We're not killing enough people, clearly.
Yeah.
And she accused the president of never following through on something.
Yeah.
She comes from a long
line. Ask Osama bin Laden about that.
Yeah, exactly.
She comes from a long line of warmongers. You have to give her a break.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't give her a break.
Gretchen, she sounded almost hopeful there at the end.
I hope
maybe. Certainly hope we get to drop chemical weapons on someone. Okay.
Can we drop it on the Cheney compound?
Stop it.
He's deep underground.
Look at you. You just had a orgasm. All right. Okay. Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Friends.
We didn't get our message out effectively enough.
No, you did.
So is it all about the communication?
All
we've heard forever from the president that, hey, if we just communicated better, you'd actually like my plans. Well, what about the Republicans? Do we need a better mouthpiece for the Republicans?
No. You have bad candidates and bad ideas. So
I love the way she said we.
Fox News.
Yes.
We?
The Republican Party.
Huh?
Uh-huh. She said we twice in that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Are you trying to speculate that there's some sort of communication arm of the Republican Party?
A little bit.
Where would you get that idea?
And they failed in their messaging,
which
is even funnier.
That caught on tape thing with the Fox correspondent urging...
KT McFarland?
Yes. Urging President, General Petraeus to run for president.
Yeah.
She said, we'll be your in-house...
Yeah.
Meaning, the communications arm of
sure.
the presidential run. She now says, Roger Ailes was joking.
Hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. Ailes later said it was a joke. It was a joke.
Mm,
McFarlane wrote, I now know that Roger was joking at the time. I'm sure. But now I want to keep my job. Of course, that's crazy. It was a joke.
That's what the Führer said about invading Poland. It was a joke.
Jim.
The moment he gets it.
Okay,
gets my jokes.
Now you're at the limit of Hitler references this morning.
Hitler, well-known jokester.
Still within a half an hour.
Two peanuts were walking down the street, and one was assaulted, and he deserved it.
German's not known for their joke-telling abilities.
Okay.
Reise Wiener Schnitzel, I'm here all the week.
All right. David Limbaugh?
Yeah.
All right.
The less successful younger brother.
Wow.
Zeppo.
Yeah.
Here's Zeppo Limbaugh on Hannity.
His demands involve spending increases, no spending reductions, tax increases on 2% of people that won't do anything with revenues. It's totally unacceptable. At least under the fiscal cliff, we have some mandatory cutting, albeit disproportionately to defense spending. But it's better than accepting Obama's terms crammed our throat. Boehner needs to get a hold of this PR machine and paint Obama as the one who is holding the country hostage.
Yeah,
he wants to talk about holding the middle class hostage. Mm-hmm. No, it's him holding the entire country hostage and our kids hostage to his reckless spending and his cynical refusal to enter the entitlement reform game.
Wow, he's really bad.
Wow. Okay.
God.
Well, I can see why.
He's the less
the
successful.
One that didn't get a radio show.
Okay, Shecky.
Oh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. That's so Merrill Osmond. Okay. Just kidding, Merrill. Okay.
Merrill, he was kind of the leader, wasn't he?
Who can remember?
Until Donnie came along, and Donnie took all the...
I love Donnie. Okay.
I know you did.
Steve Doocy and John Stossel on Fox and Friends.
Europe is great because they have some wonderful food and some runny cheeses. But you're saying we should not base our policies on theirs because they're stinkers.
We should base it on Singapore, where they have 1.9% unemployment.
Singapore.
And they don't have any minimum wage, no laws against discrimination.
Oh my
it's a
God.
Competitive market. That Jesus. Protects workers.
Protects workers?
We should be like Singapore?
Yeah,
oh my
with
God.
No discrimination laws and no minimum wage.
He's a bigger idiot than I thought.
Yeah,
he's not even trying to hide what a douchebag he is. Wow.
Please, make a better effort to hide your douchebaggery. Okay, Bill O'Reilly, really? Is this whole December?
It's
really?
All of December.
Okay.
There is no doubt that Judeo-Christian tradition in this country is under attack.
Oh.
And people like Pastor Happy, all right, have got to stop and say enough.
You know.
Enough. And we need leadership, not only in the pulpit, but now we're going to need it in the public square.
Half of the Judeo-Christian ethic is Judeo. They celebrate Hanukkah, not Christmas. So there's your war on Christmas, idiot. Judeo-Christian
the Jews
traditions.
Are the, fighting the biggest war
you
against
moron.
Christmas.
God.
Oh. Thank you for that breakdown, Jim. Yes, Judeo-Christian. That is right.
You know what? I'm an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you have a creche on your property.
Yeah,
I really don't. Or Christmas. I put up a Christmas tree. I put up Christmas decorations. I've sent Christmas cards.
Yeah.
You know, it's this whole thing is just completely made up.
I don't get any of it.
I don't.
I never
either.
Have.
No.
I don't. The argument, they have it every year, and then I'm like, I don't know if you. So if you, what's a creche? Is that the manger scene?
Yes, manger scene.
That means a crib.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the manger scene. It's what you call your little doll show.
Yes. Oh, well, my Jewish ex-girlfriend used to call it my little doll show.
Yeah.
It's not a doll show. It's the birth. Jesus.
Who wasn't born
and didn't
in
one
December,
of your dogs
yeah,
eat
minor.
The baby Jesus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm.
And I was
and
waiting.
You recovered it.
Yes, for him to
eventually.
Poop it out. And a neighbor walked by and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting for baby Jesus to come.
Did you ever get the baby Jesus back?
Yes.
Yeah, do you still use that same baby Jesus?
Okay.
He was washing the blood of the lamb for her pool.
I was
maybe.
Already going to hell, so I think it was okay to throw out the poop covered baby Jesus. You know us in radio. I move too many times.
I know,
like a headless wise man.
Not so wise now, are you? Hey, we're the three wise guys.
Half the frankincense was chopped off and fell in, I don't know. It's probably still in Rochester where my first radio job was.
No, it'd be a shame if something was to happen to your savior. Really true life guys, you know. In our state, you can't have an accident. Got to be walking
there
across.
Yeah, I don't get the argument every
year.
Know. If you put other stuff in it, then it makes it multi-religious. Like if you put a couple Cabbage Patch dolls or something in the thing. And a
it just makes Ganesh. For a messy situation.
Because right. I did that because, like I was saying, when I would move and lose stuff, then I would just fill it in with other kinds of dolls.
A
like, you know, Hummel figurines.
Have a Ganesh crush.
There's Mary, Joseph, and...
A Ganesh crush.
Okay.
Shay from the chat room says you need a crash course in how to celebrate Christmas.
Well, hey! What he did there. Woo! All right. Oh, look, it's your favorite. It's the little tiny dancer of deception, Dana Perino. Remember her?
She's so cute when she's spewing her propaganda.
Wasn't this precious? Oh, they're talking about the Kansas City tragedy.
Yeah.
So how about that?
Women are victims of violence all the time.
Should have guns. Could,
well, maybe that may, or make better decisions.
Or no, learn to protect themselves. Guns are for people to even the score against somebody who is larger or more powerful than you are. Who doesn't need a gun more than a young woman walking home at night? They should have permits to carry
a gun away from you.
I see. She should have made a better decision than to get her face in the way of it.
Of the gunshot.
Yeah. Okay. All right,
How about
then.
That?
All right. I always love it when they get women to fight the war against women. I think that's good. Yeah, that
just give everyone guns. Everything would be great. What's the problem?
Yeah. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
So if I dance, do I have to leave my friends behind? Is that part of the deal?
Yes. That's a requirement when doing the safety dance.
It's a selfish bastard dance.
Doesn't sound very safe.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We will do a Jackie's Healthcare Corner at the bottom of the hour now with extra phlegm. Jackie has a little bit of head cold, but there's important stuff to talk about, including raising the Medicare eligibility age, why that is a bad idea, and Olive Garden doing the right thing.
Hey,
after threatening
to
slash hours because of Obamacare, they decided not to because of a little bit of bad publicity and bad earnings.
Yeah.
They were going to get some customers.
They were going to make everybody part-time so that they wouldn't have to give them benefits.
Wow.
See, people do the right thing when they're forced to.
Uh-huh.
I remember an attorney telling me that once, Stephanie, people don't do things because it's the right thing to do. They do it because they have to.
Exactly.
I'm like, well, isn't that cynical? And likely true. Okay. Well, it's very sad.
You expect that from a lawyer.
they're paid to be cynical.
Yeah. Those cynical bastards on earth.
Kelly in Venice Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cal. Welcome.
Oh, my God. I'm having too much fun this morning.
Yay! Me too. Oh, my God.
Okay, really, really fast through right wing world and then to the point I want.
Yes.
David Limbaugh's problem is that the cuts are disproportionate. They're all proportionate. It's a straight percentage across the board cut. John Stossel wouldn't like it in Singapore. You're not allowed to chew gum there. Look it up.
True.
Yes.
And the thing I actually
well, you can,
about,
but you'll get caned.
Well, exactly. But the thing I actually called about is I want to actually take the debt ceiling and tie it to the gentleman with HIV in South Dakota and your misuse of a phrase.
Oh, okay.
The full faith and credit of the United States has absolutely nothing to do with finance. It's Article 4, Article 4, Section 1, and it is about states being required by the Constitution to recognize contracts other states have entered into with their citizens.
Like marriage, like marriage and stuff like that.
Like marriage, which is why the federal government passed the Defense of Marriage Act to provide an exception to the Constitution for these right-wing bozos that are out there in South Dakota.
Yep, so, exactly. Well, yeah. No, and that's what we always said. It was writing, discrimination into the Constitution. I mean,
exactly. Now, for Christmas, however, I'm going up to Seattle, where my wife's family is from, and not a member of their family, just a friend of mine who's up there. We're going to be smoking dope at their wedding.
Hooray!
Woo!
good morning.
You
all
too.
Right, thank you, honey.
If you got them smoking.
Smoke if you got them.
Hey, these aren't candles on the cake. Cake.
Smoking some dope, watching some homos get married.
Smoking if you got them.
Brandon in Indiana. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, how you doing? Go ahead.
Big fan, guys. I just wanted to call for something scary as hell I saw the other day. I'm watching Sean Hannity, you know, just for the comedy.
Yes.
And so I'm watching it, and Ann Coulter's on there. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a crap storm, you know, just complete crap. And all of a sudden, Ann Coulter starts making sense.
Oh, I know.
And she was talking about.
I saw that. She was doing her share moment with Sean Hannity. She was snap out of it.
Yeah, I was never a believer in the Mayan calendar.
Snap out of it.
Yeah, I was never a believer of the end of the world coming. But
yes.
There's a sign.
Yeah, we'll explain what they were talking about.
Okay, they were talking about the fiscal cliff crisis, and Hannity was doing his best to. You know, he's going to stand on principle and just let them all burn. And she was saying, what principle? What kind of principle is it to let 98% of the country have their taxes raised to save 2% of the country their tax increase?
Right. And then she basically said, snap out of it. She goes, we lost,
yeah.
Sean. We lost.
Snap out of it.
Awesome.
Well, you shut up.
And that's a big Fred Flintstone head to slap. I mean,
that is.
Yeah. You know what?
We need man hands like that to slap
right.
A head that size.
Right. Okay.
What?
She's more man than I'll ever be. That's all I'm saying. Right? Right, Ann Coulter? Just saying. Okay, I'll just...
I'm more of a man than any liberal is.
Thank you. Okay, that's my point.
Uh-huh.
All right. Wow. Yeah. Hmm. By the way, so we're going to do a Jackie's Healthcare Corner, but we've talked about this. We've touched on it about why raising the Medicare eligibility age is a bad idea. Nancy Pelosi's talked about it. And obviously it's been floated out there. That's on the table. And here's what I'm like, why do we need to, we won, as Ann Coulter just said to Sean Hannity. Why do we need to negotiate with them on their bad ideas?
Exactly.
Why do we need to trade that? The American people are with us on all this stuff. We will talk to Jackie about all that next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mom says you'd make a great Florida whore. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I know who we can ask.
It's again.
That's an unfair segue. Born and raised in Miami. Unfair.
What is a Florida whore?
I don't know, but I do know sometimes they call Tampa Trampa.
Oh, there you go.
Yay. All right.
Don't blame me. I didn't make it up.
All
I just
right.
heard it.
Of course. Okay. Jackie Schechner.
I'm going to get hate mail.
So we have a good news, bad news, Jackie's Healthcare Corner.
Okay.
I was saying the headline is, after taking heat for saying they'll slash hours under Obamacare, Olive Garden decides not to slash hours after all. It's amazing what a little publicity can do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary. Papa John's did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He put a post up on Huffington Post defending himself, saying that that he's been misunderstood.
Sure.
Misinterpreted.
Right. Now that I've looked at my bottom line, I've realized that I've been misunderstood.
Yeah. I sat in my castle with my moat for a while.
Yes.
And realized.
Yes, yeah. After taking heat for suggesting it would cut restaurant workers' hours to avoid having to give them health insurance under Obamacare, it's actually Darden Restaurant. They own a lot of different restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Announced a change of heart Thursday. Aw, they must have listened to Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas.
I think so.
By SpongeBob, who we had on yesterday. They said they will not switch anyone's status to part-time. They also said they will offer all full-time employees, whether they're hourly workers or executives, access to the same health care plans.
Here's the problem with that. I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, but
okay.
A problem with that is those health plans are sometimes not affordable to hourly workers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those plans are too expensive for people to contribute to. They're good for executives and people who make a lot of money, but they're not necessarily affordable. And in the Affordable Care Act, there is a provision that says if the company does provide provide health insurance, but it's more than, I think it's 9.5% of your salary, you can go out into the exchange because it's not considered an affordable plan for you. And if the worker has to go out into the exchange because Darden Restaurant Group or whatever group happens to not be providing affordable insurance for everybody, not just its higher paid employees, it then has to contribute to the exchange as well. So if Darden offers a plan that's really good for, let's say, you know, a management CEO, but not good for the hourly worker, and the hourly worker says, I want to go out into the exchange instead, Darden has to pay into the exchange to help support the subsidy
you
for that worker.
You thought of everything for that Affordable Care Act, Jackie Schechner. God bless you.
Not me personally, but it's a nice provision in there that, I mean, really, we call it employer responsibility or shared responsibility, but the idea is if you're going to push somebody out into the marketplace and taxpayers are picking up the subsidies, why should you not contribute to that?
Right. Well, I mean, the thing I like about this story in general, first of all, they have Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Capital Grill. They have a lot of restaurants.
Yard House.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the silver lining, Jackie, is that, you know, people will do the right thing when they're forced to. The good news is they know we're watching now. I mean,
that's disappointing, though.
They attributed lower earnings to bad publicity for their comments regarding, you know.
I mean, people can vote with their pocketbooks or their wallets, and I like that idea.
You know what, though? They should do the right thing from the very first.
Absolutely.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Well,
you're so precious.
I mean, you know, I'm thinking about not going to any of these restaurants because they were douches.
Well,
at the
exactly. That's a bipartisan thing, isn't it, Jackie? Just don't be a douche.
Yes.
If you want to attract good workers, be a good employer.
That's always a good platform to run on.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Now let's talk about this. You've mentioned this, Jackie, and this is very important. AP doing a story this morning. Americans living longer, and Republicans want to raise the Medicare eligibility age as part of any deal to reduce the government's deficits. But what sounds like a prudent sacrifice for an aging society that must watch its budget could have some surprising consequences, including higher premiums for people on Medicare, which you mentioned, I believe, in our last healthcare corner. And AARP, of course, is already running ads, knocking down the idea as a quick fix that would cause long-term problems. Nancy Pelosi has said the same thing. What do you think? I mean, it's just why. And what I wonder after the election, like I said, why is this on the table? This was this is Paul Ryan's idea.
Yeah.
That's what's so crazy. Two parts of this, right? The first part is that during the election, we talked about the $760 billion worth of savings that we had in Medicare, and the Republicans railed against them as cuts, and now they're asking to cut money out of Medicare. So it's a tremendous amount of hypocrisy in terms of the quickness that they've turned around on this. You know, they want to protect your Medicare, and at the same time, they want to try and take money out of it. So that's the one part. The second part.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. No,
it's
go
not
ahead.
Like it's your show or anything.
No! Please, Flemmy McFlemerson, go ahead.
The second part of this is raising the age is a problem for this reason, and this is important. It's a little tricky, but it's important. You take people who are 65 to 67, let's say, and instead of letting them have access to Medicare, you push them out into the private insurance market. Their premiums are going to be high, and the insurance market is going to raise up the premiums in general for everybody because it's going to have more sicker people in the pool. So not only is it going to cost shift onto seniors between 65 and 67 who may forego care because they can't afford it or who may not end up buying insurance until they get on Medicare and get sicker in the process. I mean, there's a lot of contingencies that can happen, but it ends up raising the price of the insurance market overall.
Right. And what I was going to say, Jack, is it's one of those things politically that, oh, well, that seems reasonable, and oh, that seems like a concession that we could make to get, you know, the rich people to pay their fair share. But once again, they lost. This was Paul Ryan's idea. They lost. A leading Medicare expert said, this is a policy change that seems straightforward, but it has surprising ripple effects. It's a simple thing to describe, and the justification are people are living longer. Sounds good, right? But I don't think people have thought through the indirect effects. And so a lot of them in this, and you've seen this Kaiser study. This is a nonpartisan group, right? It says higher monthly premiums for seniors on Medicare. Their costs would go up because keeping younger, healthier, 65 and 66-year-olds out of Medicare's insurance pool would raise costs for the rest, as you just said. The increase would be about 3% when the higher eligibility age is phased in. Higher premiums for private coverage under Obama's health care overhaul. That's because older, you've been saying all this, that older adults would stick with private insurance for the 2 extra years moving into Medicare. Compared with younger adults, they're more expensive to insure.
We have to keep saying saying this over and over again, and this is where our messaging gets off track. We have to keep saying we don't have a Medicare problem. We have a health care cost problem.
Right.
This is not a Medicare problem. It's because our health care system is dysfunctional and prices are too high and costs are out of control because companies make money by jacking up prices and not allowing us to negotiate.
Right. And they make, you know, other points here, an increase in employer costs because older workers would try to stay on company insurance plans, higher out-of-pocket health care costs for 2 out of 3 older adults whose entry into Medicare would be delayed, and the CBO projected an increase in the number of uninsured, and that possibility, as you and I have talked about, becomes more real with states like Texas saying they're not going to accept the Medicaid expansion in Obama's health care overhaul, which would provide coverage to low-income adults, obviously.
Medicare is more efficient than private insurance. People are more satisfied with their Medicare mm-hmm. coverage than they are with their private insurance. The networks are broader than they are with the limited coverage in the private wow. insurance market. I mean, there is study after study and research after research to show how Medicare is leading the way in innovation with ways to pay our doctors and healthcare providers more efficiently. I mean, there's so much good coming out of Medicare, and the fact that they just want to strip it on principle, and really it's a matter of trying to dump this money into the private insurance market and make more money for Wall Street
exactly.
is what's going on here. So there's not a Medicare problem. Say it over and over again. It's a health care
problem. There's not a Medicare problem. We have a health care cost problem.
That's where we need to go with this. That's where members of Congress need to go with this. That's why we need to stand strong on it. It's why the labor unions are fighting for it. I mean, it's really important.
Well, and then one last point. I think we've made this before, too. I don't know if it was the same guy, Goldman Sachs CEO, talking about this. And you go, well, it's different for you to sit in your cushy office till you're 67. What about construction workers?
Right.
People? So that's what the other point they're making, the impact on people with physically demanding jobs for whom extending working years is going to be difficult.
You know, nobody really understands how screwed up our health insurance system is until they're encountered with something or until they face something where they have to deal with the system. And then it's universal. Everybody says, oh, my gosh, we have such a problem here. And people say, I don't get it. I like my insurance. Wait until something goes wrong, because it always does. Like when you get sick and you have to navigate that system, it's inevitably unfair and expensive and entirely cost prohibitive in so many ways.
Yep.
And so I think people really need to understand this doesn't have to be political. It can just be human. It can just be a common human experience.
Say it with her. We do not have a Medicare
problem. We have a health care problem.
We do not have a Medicare problem.
We have a health care problem.
All right. You know my main health care concern today?
What?
Is that you were supposed to be in studio. You were supposed to be in studio here with us in Burbank, and you're not because you're sick, and then you were going to go spinning with me, and now I am a sad panda.
Aw, you have a sad.
I have a sad.
Oh.
All right. But it was still a spectacular healthcare corner, despite you trudging uphill with all your mucus. Thank you, honey.
You just make me sound so appealing.
You're precious. See, at the top of the hour, go blow your nose now.
Love you all.
Bye.
Well, it's so sucky.
She's a baby in a traffic report.
Jim in Iowa, you're on. We're referring to a traffic reporter we worked with 1,000 years ago that was sounded just like, well, the traffic of the life is in the center. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Steph, Jim, and Chris.
Hi. We're in the 70 million traffic center. Good morning.
The 405
yeah, too much fun.
Yep.
Anyway.
And the funny thing
wondered...
is anyone in LA radio knows who we're talking about. All right, go ahead.
Okay, anyway, I just you missed on Right Wing World on Sean Hannity, and then it kind of rolled into Rachel Maddow that they were talking about the hubris that the POTUS was feeling by going on vacation during Christmas while the country is, you know, in the middle of the fiscal Cliff Clavin here.
Yes.
And I'm just... I thought maybe you guys would have picked up on that. He's sitting there going, it's hubris, it's hubris.
Yes. Because, well, as you know, no president in the history of the Republic has ever gone on vacation.
Oh, no, of course. I mean, you know, he just came through, you know, a campaign and everything else and been working hard all year. I haven't heard of him taking the 15 vacations that
W
took while he was on, you know, and everything. It's just unbelievable that he could
actually
bring that out. You know,
that was
like
different.
The guy doesn't deserve a break. And, I mean, it's like there's nothing he can do. The ball is in the Republicans' court
right
now.
That's right. He's been very clear. Ran on it, won on it, done that.
Now watch
there,
his
done
drive.
That. Yeah. No, that's different. George Bush was clearing brush, and that was hard work. He was working hard.
Working hard.
Working hard.
Everyone knows
hard work.
Working hard to do so.
It wasn't vacation.
Everyone knows it's hard work.
Now watch this drive.
I always felt bad for the Secret Service agents, whose clearly their job was to keep putting brush down.
Yeah. So he could clear it.
Okay. All right. He's coming back. Oh, well, let's go find some brush. Okay, 45 minutes for the photo ops.
He's clearing out filler brush salesman.
45.
Chopping him up with it.
No, you're fired.
You're fired.
You've got the wrong kind of brush in here. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris and Yankton with a great point. Stephen DeMooks, in addition to the points just raised by Jackie, raising the Medicare eligibility age is bad for another reason. Think of all the married people where spouses aren't exactly the same age. Mm-hmm. Bob is 67. Mm-hmm. Alice is 60. Bob can now get on Medicare, but Alice can't get on Medicare for another 7 years if they raise the age. Where is Alice going to get her insurance? Her employer? Yeah, because there's lots of great jobs with benefits just waiting for 60-something women. Yeah. And are Bob and Alice going to pay for insurance out of pocket? I'm sure that will be affordable. If anything, we should be lowering the Medicare eligibility age. Thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm. And what about Ted? Ted's not mentioned in Bob and Alice.
And or Carol.
And what about Carol? What happens to her? Okay. Also, let's see. Oh, David in North Carolina. Newsbusters headline in the making. Staff and I slightly delayed DVR time warp this morning. You told a story about your dog eating the baby Jesus, and you waited for the said dog to poop him out.
Yeah.
I can see the Newsbusters headline now. Inane liberal Stephanie Miller feeds the baby Jesus to her dogs.
Yeah. Didn't they call you inane yesterday?
Inane, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Normally it's insane. They might have just dropped the S.
They could.
All right, and one more from, let's see, Gina says, Steph, when Mitch McConnell filibustered his own bill, did you see Claire McCaskill's reaction? She was cheering at the time. She said, wow, I think I just got whiplash. Classic. Speaking of classics.
Tizzle sang. Tizzle sang. He's so fine.
Yeah, tizzle sang, he really is. Oh, don't we all?
Yeah.
I'm
only coming here just for the new jingles every week.
Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Congratulations, Steph. Being called inane by Newsbusters is like having James Brown call you black and proud.
Awesome. Thank you.
Can I tell you what they did to me last week?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, they did something to you last week?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was filling in for our good friend Bill Press.
Right.
Yes. And it was right before Thanksgiving. It was right in the height of the Israel-Palestine bombing. And at one point, we're getting on, and everyone's offended at everyone, and everything you say offends everyone. And at one point, I said, and I made it really clear, my point of view is I'm on the side of any Israelis and Palestinians trying to solve this nonviolently. That's my point of view. And I called Hamas a terrorist organization, and then I said, but they were elected democratically, so you have to deal with them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Newsbusters went crazy on this, because even though I called them a terrorist organization, I was pro-terror. And I was like, which of those two facts do you disagree with?
Mm-hmm.
So the next day I went on the air, and I told Bill's staff I was going to try something to get Newsbusters to write another article, and I only mentioned them once, and I just said Newsbusters is crack and porn for the human id.
Oh.
And they ran it as a headline all over Thanksgiving.
Fantastic.
They're so easy over there.
Yeah.
Look what he said about us.
Yeah. They're like Dana Loesch. They just get upset at any tiny little perceived slight.
Exactly.
So
and they'll look
touchy.
For them, too.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
They said, I'm sorry, sexy little terrorist John Fugelsang said what? Yeah, here's what we've decided is the right wing in jokes, John. Not so much. My headline was, what was it? Inane liberal Stephanie Miller's Republican Party wants to turn poor people into mulch.
Right.
And how can you take something like that seriously?
And that's completely dishonest. They only want to turn working people into mobs.
Right.
That is really incorrect.
Exactly.
Welcome to Right to Work, you goobers. Here's what you signed up for. Right to work for less pay, no benefits, no rights, and cops and firemen. This includes you in Michigan now, too. You endless goobers electing Snyder, you damned fools. Here's what you paid for.
Yes.
In other words, turn them into mulch.
Exactly. Did you get that, Newsbusters?
I'm going to filibuster mulch.
Okay. All right. Sexy Liberal John Finkelstein, he got in early, and so we snatched him.
Yeah.
We'll have him all next hour as well. And, of course, in Washington, D.C. with us January 19th for the Sexy Liberal Palooza, which, John Finkelstein, tickets going incredibly fast.
Going incredibly fast. Well, right. Especially because now we're going to have to do 400 shows in Michigan this year.
Exactly.
But, yeah, come see it. It's the second chance and maybe the last chance to see Aisha and Hal as part of the same show.
And Chris and Jim and Jackie will be opening the show for us.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're all going to share one hotel room because that's all that's left in the entire city.
Yeah, because
it's going to be a big mini bar.
No, we're going to share a mystery machine that we stole from Scooby-Doo. Could be parked
out on
the street.
And a huge surprise celebrity guest on panel as well.
Yes, indeed.
So there.
Oh,
so,
and I have to, can I plug a separate gig for Monday?
Yes, please.
Well, Joy Behar is putting on a benefit for Sandy Relief. It's called Comics with Benefits, and it's going to go for two different organizations, UGA Federation of New York and Rebuilding Together, to help people in need rebuilding damaged homes. Listen to this lineup, Stephanie and Chris and Jim.
What? Huh?
Are you ready for the lineup of this show?
Sure.
It's Monday
yes.
night. It's going to be at the 92nd Street Y. Current will be filming it for a special that they'll run.
Oh, wow.
Because we have finally started them down the path of good stand-up comedy. It's going to be Joy Behar, Colin Quinn, Daryl Hammond, Susie Essman, Mario Cantone, Wendy Williams, Judy Gold, Rosie Perez, Andy Borowitz, and me.
Wow.
Now, that's a lineup, kids.
Wow.
That is
if
awesome.
You're in the tri-state area, come here and you know your money's going to a
that
good cause.
That is fun. Wow.
That is very cool.
All right, speaking of our right-wing friends and,
Of right-wing hypocrites!
Did you see the story? Laura Ingraham's newsletter blasts Obama for having MSNBC hosts, despite her 2006 visit to the Bush White House.
Yeah.
Different when I do it.
So President Obama had met with the MSNBC host, among other progressive media people. Was I invited? No.
Of course not.
No, not the fart joke comedians.
The Bush White House hired
people.
Them directly from Fox News.
They wrote in her newsletter, can anyone even imagine how the press would have reacted if Fox News hosts and conservative personalities had stopped by the Bush White House to discuss policy? They would have been rightly outraged.
Rush Limbaugh sat in George Bush Sr.'s box at the Republican convention.
Except, looky here, New York Times story from 2006, which reported an influential group of conservative radio hosts, including Laura Ingraham. Meeting with Bush at the White House. It included Sean Hannity.
Imagine if we had done that.
Imagine the outrage.
To the right. More than right.
Pull
my hair.
All right. Laura and the Stephanie Miller Show has no information as to whether Laura Ingraham likes her hair pulled during sex. But if she does, it's to the right. Okay. Laura in Florida. Hello.
Hello, Steph. How are you?
Hi. Good. Go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to, on a lighter note, our president is doing so bad, but yet Apple wants to come and open a factory here.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're going to start manufacturing
unemployment
here.
At the lowest in 4 years dropped to 7.7. Today we added 146,000 jobs last month.
Almost double what was predicted.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, these guys are all hot wind. I mean, they're trying to push the Statue of Liberty over the cliff, and it's not happening.
Well, reality has a liberal bias, clearly.
Yes.
And it's
that's a disturbing visual, pushing the Statue of Liberty over a cliff. Okay, just saying.
That's a pretty tall cliff.
All right. John, we were saying today, just two alternate realities. I was driving in today, Bill Press, reporting just the facts that we just reported. Turned to the right-wing station. They're like, well, how many jobs have we had? Not many. Not much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Somehow
unemployment is down, and here's Hannity to explain why that's bad.
That's bad, yeah. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Representative Robert Andrews from Jersey, and we continue Fridays with Finkelstein on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, you're right. We can't even read the Chiron anymore. House Speaker, Washington has a spending problem.
Spending problem. President wants to raise the tax rate. I'm flabbergasted.
I remain flabbergasted eternally. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour.
And orange.
Yes, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fuglesang.
Guten Tag.
Thank you. We are joined by Representative Robert Andrews of the great state of New Jersey. Representative, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. It's like Groundhog Day, right? You can just read the same chyrons on TV, the same talking points from the Republican side. And the president has been so clear, hasn't he, in what he ran on, what he won on, and what he's saying now.
Yeah, and what's also clear is the outcome of this. The Republicans are going to cave on this tax issue, and the tax rates are going to return on the wealth on the people 250,000 and up to what they were under Bill Clinton when we had an economic cataclysm, as you might recall.
Yeah.
600,000 new businesses were started, 24 million new jobs are created. God forbid that should happen again. But
right.
But I think that the Groundhog Day element of this, Stephanie, is this. Last year at this time, the president wanted to extend the payroll tax cut to help the middle class. The Republicans held their feet and stomped their feet and objected and wanted a tax cut for the wealthy. And he stood his ground, and they tried to stand theirs, and the ground just caved in around them. And without even a separate vote, I think they undid this by unanimous consent right before Christmas. That's what's going to happen again this time. We're going to get the rates back to where they were under Clinton.
Well, again, they say the president's not being specific. Here he is yesterday.
Just to be clear, I'm not going to sign any package that somehow prevents the top rate from going up for folks at the top 2%.
Seriously, how many
specifics?
Yes, but he wasn't clear enough. He didn't say of which country.
Yeah.
He's got to be much more precise about this.
I mean, Jay Carney echoed it again. Take a listen.
What will produce a deal is an acknowledgement by Republicans, Republican leaders, that rates on the top 2%, the wealthiest Americans, have to rise. There is no deal without that acknowledgement and without a concrete, mathematically sound proposal.
Oh, my God. I'm reading the chyron right now. The White House has only offered a joke, according to John Boehner. I mean,
you are the joke.
Representative Andrew, are you hearing anything new except
this
meeting today?
There's this whole level of the public choreography going on that's not very real. What's going on here is that the Republicans understand that they're going to have to put over $1 trillion of revenue into this agreement, and they're coming to terms with how to get the votes within their conference to do it. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that that's what's going to happen about 2 weeks from now. I'm hopeful, by the way, I'm really focused less on the taxes and more on the jobs. That I was delighted to hear the jobs numbers this morning, but it is not good enough yet. And I do think that part of this deal has to be jobs right now. More transportation construction, tax cuts for small businesses if they create jobs, an extension of unemployment benefits for people that are still out there looking very hard for work. These are things that I think have to be a part of this agreement. That's what we ran on. We didn't just run on raising taxes on the wealthy. We ran on creating jobs for everybody, and I want to insist on that as part of this deal.
And it is amazing how they can spin even this as not good enough or bad. I mean, it is the lowest unemployment level in 4 years. We have dropped to 7.7, added twice as many jobs as was expected, right, 146,000 last month. And you know, and yet they want to go back to the policies where we were losing 700,000 to
800,000
a month.
There are three facts that Democrats need to repeat every day to every Republican that we see. Fact number one is that the president promised to get unemployment down below 8% if we pass the stimulus bill. Hello, guys. It's down below 8% from almost 11%, which he inherited as the economy fell apart in his first year in office. Second, the job-killing health care bill that he signed in March of 2010, the economy has created over 7 million new jobs since the job-killing health care bill was signed.
Yeah.
By the way, over 1 million of those jobs in the health care field.
And by the way, I can hear the air quotes in your voice when you call it the job.
Exactly. Yeah, they're air quotes, for sure. And then the third is,
as heard on Fox News. Go ahead.
The third is, that Barack Obama did win the presidential election. He got 51% of the vote, very nearly. By some appropriate coincidence, Mitt Romney got 47% of the vote.
Yes.
The president got 332 electoral votes. He won. And I think all the rest of this is just the Republicans playing out the various stages of grief and loss.
Representative, yeah, exactly. What's could you hurry up and get to the bargaining and acceptance, for God's sakes? We're all
yeah,
want to go home
will.
For Christmas.
And I think it's coming right before the end of the calendar year.
Yep. Representative Andrews, we've talked a lot about health care, and we were just talking this hour about why does the Medicare eligibility age, why does that have to be on the table? It you know, as I was reading analysis of it today, it seems like a bad idea. It's an idea that Paul Ryan, embraced. Obviously, Nancy Pelosi has said she doesn't like the idea. Again, as you just said, we won. The president won. Why do we need to trade that this time?
Yeah, I don't know there's going to be any trade of that. I do think there is a concern about Medicare's long-term fiscal health, and that is for a good reason. People are living longer, which is in part because of Medicare, by the way, because people get better health care when they retire. And, you know, the actuarial tables are a little bit out of whack on this, so it's something I think you can evaluate if it's done in a fair way. But let's get back to the main point here. We already agreed to $1.2 trillion of spending cuts that are now the law in July of 2011. And there was no revenue in that deal. This is about revenue and job creation. And I think to get distracted by the spending side, we're taking the bait if we do that.
Mm-hmm. Representative Andrews, I'm curious. You're saying, first of all, is there going to be a vote on what do you call it, 98% of us getting a tax cut? Is there going to be a vote on that in the House and on this discharge petition?
I think what will happen is that in some form, the present tax rates for the 98% of the American people will stay in effect on a long-term basis. Now, what procedural mechanism these guys eventually come up with, I don't know, but that's what the result's going to be.
Yep. All right. Well, it's all good news, and we always appreciate you updating us. Thanks so much, Representative Robert Andrews.
It's great talking to you. Have a great day.
You too.
You
Representative
too.
Robert Andrews, great to join
me. New Jersey.
Speaking of great things from back east, John Fugelsang.
Hiya, John.
Is
great
in
guy.
In the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fugelsang.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Yeah, great interview, kids.
Yeah, thanks.
Well,
that's what a congressman who's not a Koch brother tool talks like.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, because the ecclesiastical MOOC is here,
yes.
Could you take out your organ for me, please?
Sure.
I had told a story. Well, it's my traditional Christmas story because it's true.
What, the sauerkraut?
No, that's my Thanksgiving recipe.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
When my dog ate my baby Jesus from my manger scene 1 year, John.
Your
crash. Right. And the doctor, the vet said, just let it pass, you know.
Yes.
So I did. I was standing there staring at his butt. And the neighbor said, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting for baby Jesus to come.
Okay.
So Chris
I can
Yankton,
see why some might take a minor offense at that.
Chris writes, Steph, waiting for your dog to eliminate the creche figure he ate was a very appropriate activity for Advent. After all, Advent is a season of expectation and preparation.
There you go.
Okay.
Hopefully not preparation.
It's
an H. H in this case.
You jumped on it.
Okay.
I think we're very lucky your dog didn't eat your little plastic doll of the Prophet Muhammad.
Yes. Yes, that would have
because some fundamentalists get a joke better than other fundamentalists.
Oh, heavens. Oh. Kids. Let's. I have a love story.
Oh, good. Let's transition to that.
It's a
Can
John,
I
it's a holiday.
Making that joke?
Pardon me?
Nothing.
It's a holiday gift of the Magi, 1 degree
Magi.
Of Magi.
Magi.
Separation.
Or Magi creche. Don't be a wise guy.
Okay, listen.
Tree wise guys.
There is a very touching story that if I could get it out, like
my
the baby Jesus,
was a wise
like
was
my
a
dog
wise
got the baby Jesus out, let me get this out. This is from Scuba Drew. Get it? He's a scuba instructor and his name's Drew.
Oh,
Scuba Drew.
He goes by Scuba Drew.
That's funny.
Zoinks!
Okay, aloha, mama. It's a funny true story from two new fans in Hawaii. My wife and I are liberal political junkies, first started watching you when you first aired on Current TV and are now dedicated fans. You brought many laughs to my wife and I during the last year. In fact, so much I wanted to surprise her for Christmas, so I ordered a hat and a coffee cup from the Steph Gear store on StephanieMiller.com. Clean.
Nice.
Thank you. Now, my wife is very smart and hard to sneak anything past, and I knew she would catch on if she saw the box, so I anxiously awaited the mail, making sure I got to the package before she saw it.
Aw.
Today, the package arrived, and I snuck it inside, opened it up, and discovered the box contained a Larry the Lizard, Lancelot Lizard coffee cup, which I really liked, but was not what I ordered.
Oh.
So I looked at the receipt thinking, this is odd, and that's when I noticed the box and the receipt was addressed to my wife, and then it hit me. She had ordered that for me, and I had just ruined the whole thing. We had both ordered stuff for each other at virtually the same time and tried to hide it from each other.
Oh.
Mahalo for all the laughs and being the perfect start to the day.
It's like
aloha,
Otter.
Scuba Drew. Pardon me?
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And now he's going to take a lot of... for opening his wife's mail. But that's not important now. The important thing is order something. Well, order Steph Crap.
Order Steph Crap.
Right.
Order Steph Crap.
Oh, P.S.
Why not? If you wind up learning your spouse's passwords along the way, so be it.
Gets right. P.S. Why not a fourth sexy little show in Hawaii? I can think of nothing better than to wrap up the year with the gang getting laid in Hawaii. Hi, Lays. We get some Lays.
I see, yes.
There are a lot of Stephanie fans in Hawaii. There are a lot of listeners there.
That's right.
It'd be awful if we had to do a show there. That'd be terrible.
That'd be horrible. We will be doing the very first show of 2013 in Washington, D.C., Inauguration Weekend. Check it out. Tickets going fast. All right. By the way, one more unsolicited testimonial.
Okay.
Let's see. Ryan in New Jersey. Steph and the Mooks, I'm very happy I've been getting the Stephcast since the end of October. Having the previous silliness and insight go back to is truly enjoyable. It helped me get through a rough day Wednesday as a blind person who has a successful career in IT, thanks in part to the ADA. I was angry and heartbroken when I heard the Senate had voted down the treaty, which have encouraged other nations to provide the same accommodations that we have for their citizens. Being able to listen on the way to the train to and from work, as well as to such things as Jim's Reince
Primus
and Rocky Mountain Mike Skeeter, gets better, made my whole day a little more bearable. Thank you guys for keeping me informed with fun, but no wow. Silent wow. Ryan in New Jersey. P.S. My screen reading software does pronounce Chris's last name as wah, wah. Like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Lovat.
Siri calls you Lovat.
Lovat.
Calling Chris Lovat.
I was so furious at that business with the Disabilities Act. I mean, what I always throw at my Ron Paul cousins and loved ones and various riffraff is the Americans with Disabilities Act is probably the thing the government's done in my lifetime that's made me most proud to be an American. It's the best thing government has done in 25 years. And how can you dispute it that if I want to have a private business, I shouldn't have to have a ramp for my fellow citizens to get in there?
No,
this is what the government is. We the people decided it.
And how about the visual?
Bob Dole there.
Right. Bob Dole. Republican war hero Bob Dole, who is disabled, serving his country. And for the final, something that means so much to him, he comes literally almost off his deathbed in the hospital last week to the Senate floor to have them stab him in the back. I mean, it just...
The flip side of that is that Bob Dole had to wait 18 years after he lost the presidency to be humiliated and ignored by his colleagues. Mitt Romney had to wait about a week and a half.
There you go. So there is
Barack Obama is the only man in D.C. who will give Mitt Romney lunch.
That's right.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
People send this funny thing on the internet.
Yeah.
What is the e-card? I'm in a really good place spiritually, so please, off. Namaste.
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 What does that mean? I have to say that at the end of my spinning class on Saturdays.
It's a blessing. Spirit within me greets the spirit within you, something like that.
To me, it means thank God I'm still alive at my age. I really should not be. Exercising this heart.
Actually, when you say pronounce it namaste, it means F off.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Well,
right. But
thank you for that.
Not what it means in the course of your yoga class.
I might get punched and spinning tomorrow if I didn't know that. By the way, and then Julie sent us this. We have to post Mama's Christmas doll show. It has some, because, you know, John, I've moved a lot, so I lose a lot of the original figurines. Then I just fill them in with other things and hope people won't notice. And
A wedding cake topper here.
Right. And, there's a few of the original, like, wise men and the baby Jesus and all that. And then there's a salt shaker and a R2-D2, a Sarah Palin doll, and a Donald Trump figurine. Oh, right near the donkey. See, there's the horse's ass near the donkey. Baby paws. Oh. All right. Jim, Reince Priebus.
Reinhold Reince Priebus.
That's correct. Has formally announced his campaign for re-election to the committee.
Because he was so successful.
That's great.
He put out a YouTube video. He tortured all the members with a YouTube video.
I really want to serve as your leader again because I'm so inspiring. And all the success you had is due entirely to me.
His letter actually said that we were able to accomplish a great deal these past 2 years. Yes, you did. You got the president reelected in a landslide.
Yes, thanks.
A Democratic Senate strengthened and a House strengthened.
And that's the great thing about Michael Steele. When they had a black guy running the RNC, what happened? They won everything, and they fired him. Yep. And then when they had a white guy running the RNC, they lost everything, and he got to keep the job. Any questions, children?
Right. And he said, we restored donor confidence and fielded one of the strongest Republican ground games in the history of our party.
Restore donor confidence in what? Your ability to redistribute their wealth?
What was Karl Rove's 14% success rate? Was that for all those billions they spent? Fabulous. Okay, Stephanie in Ohio, you're on with John. Hello, Steph.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I want to say I know a lot of people think that Hal's the cute one, which he is, but I like John better. Just saying.
Oh, it's like picking your favorite Beatle. You know, it's
Thank
hard
you.
To do.
Oh, I get a trophy, too.
Well, I wanted to say, because you were talking about one of my favorite people, Ashley Judd.
Right.
I can't believe she waited this long to get into politics.
I know.
I think better late than never.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's great. I hope she knocks Rand Paul off. I really do.
Yeah.
By the way, to me, it was like my eternal dilemma was Donnie or David Cassidy. Donnie Osmond, David Cassidy.
What
Hal
about
or John, Hal or John. It doesn't.
What about Bobby Sherman?
It depends on your... No, he was not in the same category.
Hal's a cute one. I'm willing to concede that. I'm the punctual one.
No, you're the gorgeous one.
No,
thank you, Chris.
Gorgeous.
You're the gorgeous one. In all the shows, this is how it is, folks. You have all the hot men and hot women all over Stephanie. All the hot women are all over Hal, and the damaged Catholics come to me like moths.
They flock
to me. They're just damaged Catholic Jesus. That's me.
Mary in Cincinnati. Hello, Mary.
Hey, hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Thanks to Al Gore, I'll tell you, where I live in Cincinnati, we don't have any liberal stations.
I know.
This is wonderful.
Thank you.
Anyway, John Boehner, and his colleagues here in Ohio have screwed around with our districting. And, of course, it didn't work in Hamilton County because it went with Obama. And thank God for that, because Ohio would have never went without Hamilton County.
Yep.
And Boehner and his group in Ohio took one of our congressmen and split his district from Hamilton County to Warren County.
Well, you know, I keep saying this, Mary. There was no mandate for divided government or whatever they're calling it. A million more people voted for Democrats for the House than did for Republicans. You're absolutely right. It's the gerrymandering. It's the redistricting. Everybody knows it.
And we tried to change it in Ohio with a change on the ballot, and it went down because it was really never explained correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would love to have a nonpartisan group do whatever to change things back the way they used to be.
Mary, good points. Thanks for all that. All right, Jim in Illinois real quick. Hi, Jim. Go ahead. You're on with John Fugelsang.
Hi. Hi, Steph.
Hey.
I wanted to call about people are talking about George W. Bush and how the economic problems that we have were because of George W. Bush. Well, that's not true.
Ah.
Back in... Before George W. Bush even took office, we had Boehner and we had Santorum, Tom DeLay, and Grover Norquist. All those guys were involved in this K Street project.
Mm-hmm.
This
was back when we had lobbyists, and the lobbyists in essence.
Back when we had lobbyists. Yeah, I got you, Jim. Yeah. I know we're short on time here, but... Yeah, I mean, the policies existed before George W. Bush. He was just particularly helpful in that regard.
Democrats get some blame, too, but your Republican friends are trying to have amnesia be airborne. They don't want you to remember what Bush did.
Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, more Fridays at Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, nobody believed we'd make it. Look at us now. I drink and you use sex as a weapon. That seems to me like a success.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fugelsang. The president talking about the fiscal cliff, etc. the president.
For them to be burdened
middle class
unnecessarily class. Because Democrats and Republicans aren't coming together to solve this problem gives you a sense of the costs involved in very personal terms. Obviously, it would also have an impact on our economy because if this family has a couple of thousand dollars less to spend, that translates into $200 billion of less consumer spending next year.
Uh-oh, this just didn't. Looks like Nancy Pelosi is going to hold at 12 o'clock Eastern is going to have a brief us on the fiscal cliff talk.
All right.
Mm. Yeah, John, didn't seem hopeful. Just the chyron we were reading out of the Boner had to say
this
morning.
The president's not very serious. I'm flabbergasted.
It's a joke. It's a joke what the president says.
It's at a point where you can't take anything Boehner says seriously at all, and you know all Boehner's trying to do is keep his job. I mean, it's so win-win for the Democrats on this, and I'd love to see the president just go off the cliff and introduce a middle-class tax cut January 1st and let the Republicans try to vote it down.
John, we said that exact thing yesterday, and we posted a great article. It was the best thing I've read on it in the L.A. Times about let's go off the cliff. They said, you know, he basically said, let's like hold hands and walk down together. It's not so bad. It's, you know, they talked about all of these economists. It was like 450 of them, all the Nobel Prize winning, had written this letter to George Bush asking him not to enact these tax cuts in the first place, right. Saying exactly what would happen. And it's all been. And they said, look, letting a bad tax policy die is not a bad thing.
Exactly right. It's Bush's tax increase. This was used because Bill Clinton had a surplus. Al Gore said, let's save this, put it in the lockbox, protect Social Security. Bush said, no, let's give it away to rich people. Where's the money, Lebowski? It's gone. We can't have these cuts anymore.
Yep. By the way, Julie from Seattle points out that Yertle, Mitch McConnell is up for re-election in 2014, Rand Paul not till 2016. So it looks like that's why Ashley Judd is talking about challenging
McConnell herself. Yeah, because Mitch McConnell would love to see Rand Paul gone. Give me a break. He hates her. Those guys can't stand each other. But yeah, Mitch McConnell is, and they've already said they're going to open up their box of tricks against her and use everything they can to smear Ashley Judd. It'll be fantastic.
Can I just say, Rand Paul is one of those Tea Party jerks that I can't wait to get rid of. I think people forget, John, how extreme he is. He criticized House Republican leadership yesterday for purging conservatives. Mm-hmm. He said we had a couple of congressmen who stood up and said, you know, that the Paul Ryan budget doesn't balance for 28 years, and so voting against the Republican establishment, they were purged. What he means is he's one of the people that thinks the Paul Ryan budget didn't go far enough.
Exactly. Wow. And Rand Paul's not a dope. He knows that this agenda is never going to go anywhere. He's trying to be a superstar for this narrow little libertarian movement in this country that's getting ever narrower, that has nothing to do with actual libertarianism. It's just meanness. And Rand Paul is running for president in 2016. You're not getting rid of him anytime soon. He's going to pick up Dad's mantle. But keep in mind, Rand Paul's the guy who said Americans with Disabilities Act was bad. He was the guy who said he wouldn't have done the Civil Rights Act. Rand Paul's a guy who would be very content letting apartheid continue in this country if it makes it easier on employers. That's what you pay for, and he's got a dead Ewok on his head.
And if I recall, you made one of my favorite references ever regarding Ron Paul and Rand Paul because you got an Omen reference in. I think it was in one. Sexy liberal show.
Oh. Yeah, well, it was ugly. It was an ugly year. But, you know, I do miss Ron Paul now. Ron Paul was kind of like one of those elders on the Jedi Council.
Explain the joke.
I told so many about those guys.
It was about him jumping out the window and going, it's all for you, Rand.
It's all for you, Ayn Rand. It's all for you.
It was dark and funny. Okay.
They're mean, man. This is my problem with the Ron Paul people. It's like they're great. And, yeah, Ron Paul is brilliantly right about half of the things out there. But the guy is one Gotham City acid spill away from being Harvey Dent. He's half crazy, and Rand Paul's no different.
Exactly.
The Americans with Disabilities Act is a great thing. It's something worthy of the Greeks or the Romans. It makes me so proud of my society.
I know. All right, Josh in Memphis.
Screw those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Josh in Memphis. Hello.
Hello. Y'all do an excellent thing.
Thank
you. All right, I got two things I'll try to be quick for you. First, there is a war on Christmas, but it's not being waged by atheists or agnostics.
Uh-huh.
It's being waged by other extreme right-wing religious zealots mad because their kids are being corrupted in schools. It's got nothing to do with the left-wing or, you know, atheists or agnostics or anything like that. Number two, Bill O'Reilly has this position where he wants to double the minimum wage and subsidize it with the government funds so it doesn't crush small business. Well, if that were to happen, if that were to happen, that would take an incredible amount of people off the entitlement programs. It would increase the tax flow in the income tax you're getting from the people who are making more money, and it would fix the economy because then your consumer base has way more money to spend. Well, if the left-wing base were to back something like that up with...
That's an important point. A lot of these, you know, top one percenters, John, that are, you know, what like the Warren Buffetts are saying, tax me. I need consumers that are able to afford, you know, the product I sell. It's the whole, you know, Henry Ford thing.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the Robin Hood tax is the smartest thing I've heard all year. I mean, Cusack talks about it a lot. Elliot Spitzer's got a great piece in Slate this week. If you had for every $100 that was traded on Wall Street, if you taxed half a percentage point, you would fix the entire economy. It's like, go ahead and have a tiny, tiny tax on financial transactions and watch how much it helps everyone.
Yep.
You don't have any country without the middle class. What are you rich people going to run?
Yep. Mitch McConnell, this. Listen to this for a minute.
What the president's really interested in, as we learned just yesterday, is getting as much taxpayer money as he can, first, by raising taxes on small business that he believes is making too much money, and then on everybody else.
Wow. All right, can someone call in and defend this guy? Can one of Steph's right-wing trolls call in and defend this man, please?
Oh, we should have had Road Flare Mary do it yesterday.
Aw.
Oh, God.
First of all, I love this, you know, this is the flabbergasted argument from Boner, John. They've just seen this. They've just seen this. Yes, the president hasn't talked at all about this,
I've never seen this before. I'm flabbergasted.
I demand a heated rock in my terrarium. I'm willing to go off the fiscal cliff without a heated rock.
My show will protect me. Land at the bottom of the fiscal cliff.
Mm. But, you know, I mean, as you all just said, everything he said, nothing he said there was true. That's the whole point.
Nothing he said was true.
He doesn't want to raise taxes on everyone else. He wants to lower them on 98%.
He doesn't want to raise taxes on anyone. He wants the tax rate to go back to where it was.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's all, every line of that was a lie.
The president, too.
I'm encouraged to see that there's been some discussion on the part of Republicans, acknowledging the need for additional revenue. As I've indicated, the only way to get the kind of revenue for a balanced deficit reduction plan is to make sure that we're also modestly increasing rates for people who can afford it, folks like me.
Do you think behind closed doors, Jim, he's like, all right, I got to say this again? Fine. Let me think this another set of words to say the same thing.
Way of saying it without swearing.
Yeah. Jenny in Georgia, you're on with John. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
First of all, because I watch you on Current, I'd like to say one thing. Please read your hat to us before at the beginning of the show, and also explain the T-shirts, because I can't read it for nothing, and it's been 2 days.
Okay.
What's your hat say?
It says a Chopard.
Yes, and it's a jewelry maker.
I just wear whatever someone gives me. People give me hats.
I know, but sometimes it's hard of us to our
all right.
people to read that. Okay, the other thing was I want to gay marry you, because I think that's the only way I'm going to get to go to the sexy liberal show. Because, I don't have any money. But anyway.
Listen, I will consider trade.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I want to tell Johnny Fugelsang that I love him.
Are you cheating on me already, you treacherous whore?
Yeah, some gay wife you are.
Wow.
Well, I just got to get this out of the way before we sexy marry.
All right. I'm your last fling, I see.
All right, I'll wait here.
here's what I really called for. Okay?
Yes?
First of all, I think we got to throw everything against the Republicans to get them on their hamster wheel. I think we should throw the fact that we should absolutely make lobbyists disclose how much they get and who they're attacked, who they get money to. I think we should have a breathalyzer for Congress in session, and you don't get to talk.
Yep, talking to you, Boner. All right. Hey, speaking of which, by the way, when you get home from your, you know, last fling with John Fugelsang, I'm going to be liquored up and surly.
Oh, but I don't have to clean, do I?
No. Who cares? Just pick up the wine boxes. All right.
Can we have a public shaming ritual for every goober in South Carolina who voted Jim DeMint and now realizes what a sucker they are?
Yeah. I love your new word is goober. The new word of the day.
You know
is
what?
Goober.
I've had it.
Hey,
I've had
goobers.
I've had it with mean, ignorant people. I don't mind ignorant people, but I don't like mean, ignorant people. And Jim DeMint is just resigned the Senate to try to bring America back to the 19th century to the private sector.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. He just ran for re-election.
Did he just run for re-election in 2012?
Mm. Wasn't he just re-elected?
I don't know. Let me double check that.
I thought he was.
I
mean, could be wrong.
If he did that, then he spent a lot. He wasted a lot of people's money.
He's such a liar. He says the Heritage Foundation had their first talk with him about a job offer on December 5th, and he just decided it yesterday.
Sure. Yes.
To go take $1 million salary.
Yeah, and $1 million a year had nothing to do with it. It's all about principle, as he said.
What I love is this is the most dishonest hater of Obamacare in the entire Senate, and he's leaving the Senate to run the place that invented Obamacare.
Thank you. Isn't it ironic? All right, Colette in Michigan real quick. Hello, Colette.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I love you guys.
I love you.
I just wanted to let John know there are some of us in Michigan who can't stand Snyder and did not.
Oh, I know that. I know that. Oh. God bless. No, I love Michigan. I love the Michigan people. And I'm the guy who hits on Governor Granholm backstage every day.
Oh, I know. I love Jennifer Granholm. Yeah.
Me
I just
too.
What they brought this right to work, like undercover of night, like really quick. And then you try trying to bring it. It's just crazy. I can't
After your
it.
Lying governor said he didn't support it a few months ago.
Yep.
Oh, I know. I know. It's terrible. And now they actually pepper sprayed a bunch of people at the Capitol yesterday.
Those three are on my wish list. Walker, Snyder, and Rick Scott. If we could get rid of those three.
Oh, his voice just gets on my nerves.
Oh, Walker looks like Dennis Kucinich next to this guy, Snyder. I mean, at least Walker brought it through the legislature and didn't try to sneak it in. He actually did the process. He kept cops and firemen out of it. This guy has just taken collective bargaining away from every employee of the state.
He's the douchiest of the three the three unwise men.
He's
as we
the
call
uber
them.
Douche. Yeah, he don't bring no myrrh.
Yes, oh, by the way, Jim DeMint last ran for the Senate in 2010. So
fine, I'm wrong about everything.
No, you're not.
I just wanted to double check that.
That's why God made you pretty. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Fridays with people saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yep, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Rebecca in Silver Spring, Maryland, writes, Steph, been a religious listener for 5 years. I recently converted my mom. She watches you on Current. When I heard the sexy liberals were making their long-awaited D.C. debut, a speed dialer asked if she wanted meet-and-grope tickets for Christmas. She hesitated. I interrupted. John Fugelsang will be there. Her answer, yes, please. Squee!
Nice. Come one, come all.
Looking forward to meeting and groping you, the Moogs, Jackie, Hal, Aisha, and John. My mom has eyes only for John, though. I smell a restraining order. All right, wear a cup. You know why? Because he's so... You know. All right. All right.
George Harrison was alive to rip that off or something. Yeah. Can I plug my the Big Joy Behar show on Monday?
Yes.
Folks, this is Joy Behar's Comics with Benefits for Sandy Relief. It's all the money that's going to people who lost their homes. It's going to be with Colin Quinn, Daryl Hammond, Susie Essman of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mario Cantone, right. Wendy Williams, Andy Borowitz, Judy Gold, Rosie Perez, and me at the 92nd Street Y. Current's filming it. It's going to be a TV special airing all through December, but you can come to the actual big show Monday night at www.92y.org/comics. And Joy Behar will be doing stand-up at the show.
Do it.
Right. I think people actually pay Susie Essman to insult them. It's kind of an S&M thing.
I know,
and ironically,
really
you can't spell Essman without S&M.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. Oh, you know what?
What?
Douchebaggery comes in the male and female variety in the Republican Party.
Mm.
You know, what's her name? Representative Virginia Fox?
Oh, yeah.
She's a peach Republican in North Carolina. She excoriated a lowly staff member for daring to step foot in the members-only elevator.
That's right.
In the House of Representatives.
Wow.
She exploded after running into her inside.
Literally?
Yes.
No,
the regular elevator was being occupied by furniture movers. As soon as Fox stepped into the elevator, she allegedly demanded to know for whom the staffer worked before her ordering her to get out. Fox reportedly directed the staffer's attention to a sign that meant that read members of Congress only and said, I'm just making sure we're hiring people who know how to read.
Oh!
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
Damn. There's not a word you can say in the air that describes her.
Oh, now, now, now.
Wow. But we're thinking it. It's in the thought bubble.
Speaking of words we don't want, Carl Rove will be back on Fox News next week. That was a short benching.
Wow. Oh, so what, did a producer get permission?
He's getting a little beastering, though. Doing Fox Business, Barney and Company.
Fox Business? Yeah. Nobody watches that.
Yeah.
He's got a long road back,
they're
Carl.
Second stringing him now.
All right.
And then also Brett Baer.
Oh, well, okay. People watch that.
All right. Uh-oh. Fox News White House correspondent Ed Henry.
Oh, he's stepping off the reservation.
Uh-oh.
He's going to be thrown into the hole.
Some Fox shows overcovered the Benghazi.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Said, I won't lie to you. I see that we're covering Benghazi a lot. I think that's something we should be asking about. Some of our shows, some of our commentators have covered it more than it needed to be covered.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that guy's going to have an accident one of these
that
days.
That guy might step on a bag of vipers.
Bag of vipers. Bag of glass.
Exploitgate 2012.
Oh, God. Okay. Guess who's battling each other for the Grammys? Michelle Obama versus Bill Clinton in the spoken word category.
Mm-hmm. I think Michelle Obama will take Bill Clinton. I mean, have you seen those arm muscles?
I am so enjoying my Bill Clinton corkscrew, can I just tell you?
Huh?
Somebody gave me a Bill Clinton corkscrew. I do not have the Hillary Nutcracker yet.
Guess where the screw is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a Hillary Nutcracker that goes along with it.
It's featured prominently in my kitchen. Okay. Oh, looky here. Conservative actor Stephen Baldwin arrested for failing to file 3 years of tax returns.
Aww.
He's one of those low taxes guy, you know. Uh-huh. Or no taxes if you're him.
He's one of those fake Christian guys.
Well, there's that.
He's accused of owing more than $350,000 to the state of New York.
Hmm.
That's something.
Hmm. Wow.
Okay, then.
Maybe he can badmouth Bono some more. Get his way out of it. Badmouth Desmond
right,
Tutu.
Everybody hold your jokes on this story. John Travolta collects hot chocolate.
Oh. What? That's a thing?
He collects various types of cocoa from around the world, he said. He went on to
explain... Lots of straight guys do this, by the way.
He said he represents winter wonderlands. It represents Christmas. He went on to explain that people should be careful how they handle cocoa because any impurities from the air or touch can affect its quality. He said never blow on it.
Don't blow
like
on
a fine
cocoa.
Wine, it changes the quality of the chocolate, so never, ever blow.
That's the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Sorry.
The
gayest thing I've ever seen is the cover of that Christmas album.
Yeah, that's
Evan
the thing.
If
you have a gay sex scandal with three different masseurs saying that you wanted to hook up, and then you decide to get your old fans back by calling up Olivia Newton-John and digging up her number and releasing a Christmas album, don't have an album cover to handle your gay panic scandal like John Travolta has with Olivia Newton-John.
Hmm.
Because the man's holding a hot toddy, and he's wearing the same kind of hair that George Michael had in his late 90s Count Chocula phase.
And now you've magically brought it back to chocolate. All right. Speaking of Christmas, wow, in Texas, don't they teach, I don't know, creationism?
They do.
And God knows what all else. The dinosaurs walked with Jesus.
That Jesus had a dinosaur as a pet. Sort of thing. 5,000 years ago.
So those are the things they believe in. Texas kindergarten teacher ruins Christmas, tells 5-year-olds that Santa Claus isn't real.
Oh!
Really? Gawker brings us the story. Last week, kindergarten teacher at Austin Pease Elementary School ruined Christmas for 5-year-old students in a particularly ish manner. None of you believe in Santa, do you? Mrs. Fuller is her name.
Yeah, you know what else? I cooked the Easter bunny and ate him.
Boom! Gawker says the school's principal told parents he was horrified that he had reprimanded the teacher by giving her the tools to deal with the situation in the future. It's not clear what he meant by tools, but presumably they include advice on how not to be a pole.
A book on creationism. Yeah, there's your tools.
That's just mean, y'all. All right,
it's
Samantha.
Awful.
Samantha in Colorado on Christmas. Hello, Samantha.
Hello, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, first off, John, you just keep up what you're doing because, boy, I love your commentary.
Oh, thank you very much.
Jim, work on the Wunderbar part. You might nail it one of these days.
Oh.
Wunderbar? What?
Hey, Chris?
Yes, hi.
That was ominous.
Your Christmas tree?
Yes.
I got good news for you.
Okay.
It's actually pagan.
Yes, it is a pagan tradition.
It was one of those.
It was co-opted by Christians. Yeah.
Are you like the Wizard of Oz giving us all our advice we need to know?
Right. No, oh, my God, that is a really evil laugh you have.
I'm a blonde. I'm entitled.
Wow. That was a very evil laugh. Okay. Good. It's a godless communist tree. Good to know.
Okay.
Perfect for you.
Great.
Perfect.
That's what I'll call it.
Perfect. All right, kids, get them tickets for January 19th inauguration weekend. Sexy Liberal, John Finkelstein, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler, Chris, Jim, Jackie opening for us. Fabulous, surprise celebrity on panel. And we love you. We love us some John Finkelstein.
Yeah, have a great weekend, guys. Great to be here with you. And I will be seeing you next month in L.A.
Yay!
Yay!
Fun, wow! We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.